Okay, so chapter 2.
Okay, who's starting? Two. Well, I guess I can get a copy of this from you also, but I'll just...
Yeah.
Because you're far away.
Who's starting? Should I start?
Yeah.
Okay. In the second chapter of the Madhya Lila, the author describes the pastimes the Lord performed during the last 12 years of his life. Thus
wait,
he has...
Wait. Are we reading the same thing? Madhya, chapter 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, it may be a different version.
Oh.
It's a bit of a different
version. In this chapter, the author describes the pastimes.
Maybe.
Okay.
Go ahead. You read it. I guess mine is different.
In this chapter, the author describes the pastimes the Lord performed during the last 12 years of his life. Thus, he has also described some of the pastimes of the Antya Lila. Why he has done so is very difficult for an ordinary person to understand. The author expects that reading the pastimes of the Lord will gradually help a person awaken his dharma love of Krishna. Is that what you got?
Yeah, it's just the only thing that was missing was of the Madhya Lila. That's here, but it's not there.
Actually, this Chaitanya Charitamrita was compiled by the author during very old age. Fearing he might not be able to finish the book, he has included a synopsis of the Antya Lila here in the second chapter. Srila Kaviraj Goswami has confirmed that the opinion of Swarup Damodar is authoritative in the matter of devotional service. Over and above this are the notes of Swarup Damodar, memorized by Raghunath Das Goswami, who also helped in the compilation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. After the disappearance of Swarup Damodar Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami went to Vrindavan. At that time, the author, Srila Kaviraj Goswami, met Raghunath Das Goswami, by whose mercy he could memorize all the notes. In this way, the author was able to complete this transcendental literature, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bengali, or we just...
We can skip.
Well, translation. While relating in synopsis form the last division of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this chapter I shall describe the Lord's transcendental ecstasy, which appears like madness to his separation from, due to his separation from Krishna. Purport. In the second chapter, the activities of Lord Chaitanya that took place after the Lord accepted sannyas are generally described. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is specifically mentioned here as being Gora, or a fair complexion. Krishna is generally known to be blackish, but when he is absorbed in the thoughts of the gopis, who are all of fair complexion, Krishna himself also becomes fair. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in particular felt separation from Krishna very deeply. Exactly like a lover who is dejected and separation from the beloved. Such feelings, which were expressed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for nearly 12 years at the end of his pastimes, are described in brief in the second chapter of the Madhya Lila. All glories to translation. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to all the devotees of the Lord. Text 3. During his last 12 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always manifested all the symptoms of ecstasy and separation from Krishna. 4. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's state of mind, day and night, was practically identical to Radharani's state of mind when Uddhava came to Vrindavan to see the gopis. 5. The Lord constantly exhibited a state of mind reflecting the madness of separation. All his activities were based on forgetfulness, and his talks were always based on madness. Blood flowed from all the pores of his body, and all his teeth were loosened. At one moment, his whole body became slender, and then another moment, his whole body became fat. The small room beyond the corridor is called Gambira. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to stay in that room, but he did not sleep for a moment. All night he used to grind his mouth and head on the wall, and his face sustained injuries all over. 8. Although the three doors of the house were always closed, the Lord would nonetheless go out and sometimes would be found at the Jagannath temple before the gate known as Singha Dwara. And sometimes the Lord would fall flat into the sea.
You're talking about that painting?
No, I just know why not just fall into the sea, fall flat into the sea. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would also run very fast across the sand dunes, mistaking them for Govardhan. As he ran, he would wail and cry loudly. Purport. Because of the winds of the sea, sometimes the sand would form dunes. Such sand dunes are called Chatakaparvata. Instead of seeing these sand dunes simply as hills of sand, the Lord would take them to be Govardhan Hill. Sometimes he would run towards these dunes at high speed, crying very loudly, expressing the state of mind exhibited by Radharani. Thus, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and his pastimes. His state of mind brought him the atmosphere of Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill, and thus he enjoyed the transcendental bliss of separation and meeting. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mistook the small parks of the city for Vrindavan. Sometimes he would go there, dance and chant, and sometimes fall unconscious in spiritual ecstasy. Next.
Text 11. The extraordinary transformations of the body due to transcendental feelings would never have been possible for anyone but the Lord, in whose body all transformations were manifested. Purport. The ecstatic transformations of the body described in such exalted literatures as the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are practically not seen in this material world. However, these symptoms were perfectly present in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These symptoms are indicative of Mahabhava with the highest ecstasy. Sometimes Sahajiyas artificially imitate these symptoms, but experienced devotees reject such imitations immediately. The author admits herein that these symptoms are not to be found anywhere but in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 12. The joints of his hands and legs would sometimes become separated by 8 inches, and they remain connected only by the skin. Sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hands, legs, and head would all enter within his body, just like the withdrawn limbs of a tortoise. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to manifest wonderful ecstatic symptoms. His mind appeared vacant, and there was only hopelessness and disappointment in his words. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to express his mind in this way: where is the Lord of my life, who is playing his flute? What shall I do now? Where should I go to find the son of Maharaj Nanda? To whom should I speak? Who can understand my disappointment? Without the son of Nanda Maharaj, my heart is broken. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always expressed bewilderment and lamented in separation from Krishna. At such times, he used to recite the shlokas from Ramananda Roy's drama, known as Jagannath Vallabh Nataka. Text 18. Srimati Radharani used to lament, "Our Krishna does not realize what we have suffered from injuries inflicted in the course of loving affairs. We are actually misused by love, because love does not know where to strike and where not to strike. Even Cupid does not know of our very much weakened condition. What should I tell anyone? No one can understand another's difficulties. Our life is not actually under our control, for youth will remain for 2 or 3 days, and soon be finished. In this condition, O Creator, what will be our destination? Purport. This verse is from the Jagannath Vallabh Nataka, 3.9 of Ramananda Roy. Next.
Srimati Radharani spoke thus in distress due to separation from Krishna. Oh, what shall I say of my distress? After I met Krishna, my loving propensities sprouted, but upon separating from him, I sustained a great shock which is now continuing like the sufferings of a disease. The only physician for this disease is Krishna himself, but he has not taken care of this sprouting plant of devotional service. What can I say about the behavior of Krishna? Outwardly, he is a very attractive young lover, but at heart, he is a great cheat, very expert in killing others' wives. These ecstatic symptoms, this is a question, these ecstatic symptoms that Lord Chaitanya is manifesting, words are understandable in terms of how they're similar ecstasies of Srimati Radharani. But what about the bodily manifestations?
With these, like, you know, limbs being elongated or turtle, I've never read.
I haven't either, that's why I asked.
Anything like that. I mean, I've read different things, but those extreme like that, either by Krishna, either by Radharani, I've not seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was.
In the previous verse, it says, "Our youth will remain for 2 or 3 days, and soon be finished."
Can you speak a little louder?
Radharani says, "Our life is actually not under our control. For youth will remain for 2 or 3 days." And soon be finished.
Hmm.
2 or 3 days, that's it.
That's just an expression. It's just a way of expressing that it's not for a long time.
That's quite extreme. two or three days.
Well, what's about a moment? It seems like 12 years or more.
Yeah. That's true.
Srimati Radharani continued lamenting about the consequences of loving Krishna. My dear friend, I do not understand the regulative principles given by the Creator. I loved Krishna for happiness, but the result was just the opposite. I am now in an ocean of distress. It must be that now I am going to die, for my vital force no longer remains. This is my state of mind. By nature, loving affairs are very crooked. They are not entered with sufficient knowledge, nor do they consider whether a place is suitable or not, nor do they look forward to the results. By the ropes of his good qualities, Krishna, who is so unkind, has bound my neck and hands, and I am unable to get relief. In my loving affairs, there is a person named Madan. His qualities are thus. Personally, he possesses no gross body, yet he is very expert in giving pains to others. He has 5 arrows, and fixing them on his bow, he shoots them into the bodies of innocent women. Thus these women become invalids. It would be better if he took my life without hesitation, but he does not do so. He simply gives me pain. 5 arrows, fragrance, form, sound of his flute.
Touch.
Touch, yeah. What's the 5th?
All the 5 senses. 4 eyes, ears, taste, eyes, ears,
taste
of his lips.
The taste of his lips. All right, so that's the fifth.
He goes through. Yeah. Smell of his body.
Mm-hmm.
Aroma. Smell of his form.
In the scriptures it is said that one person can never know the unhappiness in the mind of another.
Mm.
Therefore, what can I say of my dear friends, Lalita and the others? Nor can they understand the unhappiness within me. They simply try to console me repeatedly, saying, "Dear friend, be patient." What scriptural references to say that one person cannot know the unhappiness in the mind?
It's Prabhupada. Oh, no, there's Shastrita. Anyera ye dukkhamane, anyera tahana hi jane, satya e shastrira vichar.
Yeah, shastriya of scripture.
Mm-hmm. Some dharma shastra, or just some mention somewhere.
I say, my dear friends, you are asking me to be patient, saying that Krishna is an ocean of mercy, at that some time in the future he will accept me. However, I must say that this will not console me. A living entity's life is very flickering. It is like water on the leaf of a flower. Who will live long enough to expect Krishna's mercy? Wow. I oftentimes use the example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He describes in Sri Bhakti Loka, the devotee, one of the symptoms of patience of a devotee is that he always is hopeful that someday he will obtain Krishna's mercy, whether it will happen now, 10 years from now, 100 years from now, or 100 lives from now. He says patience means that he maintains hope that he will get Krishna's mercy someday. But here, it's profound when you think about it. Because Radharani is, or Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Radharani, has now reached the point that I have no hope for Krishna's mercy. Lost all patience.
Mm. Yeah.
The end. A human being does not live more than 100 years. You should also consider that the youthfulness of a woman, which is the only attraction for Krishna, remains for only a few days. If you say that Krishna is an ocean of transcendental qualities and therefore must be merciful someday, I can only say that he is like fire, which attracts moths by its dazzling brightness and kills them. Such are the qualities of Krishna. By showing us his transcendental qualities, he attracts our minds, and then later, by separating from us, he drowns us in an ocean of unhappiness. How can a non-devotee ever understand this?
How do devotees understand it?
It's true. But I just remember when Chaitanya Charitamrita came out, we were distributing them before we were even reading them.
Yeah.
But distributing these to outsiders, that's the amazing thing.
Yeah.
The subject matter. This is a painful section.
The highest bliss. The closest I've seen to be able to grasp the feelings of separation is what Sanatana Goswami gives in Brihad Bhagavatamrita about ice. heat, excessive heat from ice. Yeah, it's the closest. I mean, that otherwise it's really, unless it's experienced, it can't be discussed.
Yeah. I mean, you can discuss it, just understand it intellectually, but the mind doesn't grasp, doesn't give experience.
No.
You can talk about the taste of anything, but nothing matches the taste. You can't replace it. Only if you've tasted it before, then you can actually remember the taste. But if you haven't tasted something before, then it doesn't.
What is that verse? Narada Muni to Vyas, my dear Vyas. Anyone who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord will never be able to forget that ecstasy and again and again.
So that's how actually those Udipan or these inspiration bring things back. If you've tasted it before, then something can bring about a feeling of ecstasy.
So to get that first awakening of that first taste,
you need to come on the transcendental platform.
Or come in contact with someone who is on the transcendental platform.
But even then, you only taste the abhas. You taste the abhas. That's how Rupa Goswami describes bhava abhas, rasa abhas, people who by association with an advanced devotee, or they by going to the dham, when they're in the dham, then the influence, and sometimes they cry, but it's rasa abhas. It's just a shadow.
Abhas, it's a shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but abhas is, it's like a faint experience, ray of the experience, which can lead.
As long as someone's not a maivad. Yeah, well, even in maivadis, he says it can happen.
Yeah. I guess I have hope. Do you want to read?
Ras Abhas.
Ras Abhas, but that's not the actual Ras Abhas. We tend to think of Ras Abhas as a mixture of mellows.
Same thing again. Bhava Abhas. Anything. Nam Abhas.
Yeah. Abhas is a
Prem Abhas.
It's a shadow.
Yeah. Shadow of a thing. So it really doesn't have substance, it just has some outline, some form.
But Abhas is better than the Pratibimba.
Yeah, Pratibimba is.
Yeah.
Useless.
There's so many devotees who have had experience when they first come to Krishna consciousness. Some, you know, mystical experience, or that's all abhas.
Mm-hmm.
But that's attractive for many. It keeps many devotees, you know.
Yeah.
Fixed.
So it keeps us going.
Rishi Kumar came in front of Prabhupada one time after he left. They said, Prabhupada, I'm trying to forget Krishna. And Prabhupada said, that is not possible. So even with Abhas, because that was only a couple of years in the movement, 2 or 3 years in the movement.
So. Do you want to continue?
In this way, the Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lamented in a great ocean of sadness, and thus he opened the doors of his unhappiness. Forced by the waves of ecstasy, his mind wandered over transcendental mellows, and he recited another verse as follows. My dear friends, unless I serve the transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes of Sri Krishna, all my days and all my senses will become entirely useless. Now I am uselessly bearing the burden of my senses, which are like stone blocks and dried wood. I do not know how long I will be able to continue without shame. Of what use are the eyes of one who does not see the face of Krishna, which resemble the moon and is the birthplace of all beauty and the reservoir of nectar and songs of his flute? Oh, let a thunderbolt strike his head. Why does he keep such eyes? Purport. The moon-like face of Krishna is the reservoir of nectarian songs and the abode of his flute. It is also the root of all bodily beauty. And the gopis think that if their eyes are not engaged in seeing the beautiful face of Krishna, it would be better for them to be struck by a thunderbolt. For the gopis to see anything but Krishna is uninteresting and indeed detestable. The gopis are never pleased to see anything but Krishna. The only solace for their eyes is the beautiful moon-like face of Krishna, the worshipful object of all senses. When they cannot see the beautiful face of Krishna, they actually see everything is vacant, and they desire to be struck by a thunderbolt. They do not find any reason to maintain their eyes when they are bereft of the beauty of Krishna. But interesting that, you know, Kaviraj Goswami says, I'm going to give a synopsis. And here he's actually really giving a lot of detail. This is like more than just what he does either earlier or later on. He's the ecstatic manifestations of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he thought, well, maybe I'm not going to finish. So that means he considered that this is the important message that people get. That this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted, and this is what devotees are meant to both understand and ultimately connect with. They should...
His taste, of course, we understand that's the internal reason, the taste. But when he came to distribute the holy name, answered the call of his way to Acharya, but his tasting was exclusively the internal reason. But we say, oftentimes, and it's in Sachi Sutastakam, that he distributed by that taste. That's how he distributed. So it could be considered both. He was distributing the taste by experiencing it himself. So one of the external reasons for his appearance was to distribute the holy name, which means distributing taste of the holy name of the Lord.
But unless Lord Chaitanya tasted this, you can't get this taste from chanting Hare Krishna. He put the taste in.
Yes.
Made it available.
Yes.
So not only this one, but all other tastes, all other rasas. So
Shari Bhav Bhaktadiya Nachimu Bhuvan.
He imbued the holy name with all of these tastes, which earlier were not really accessible. I guess even by people who chanted purely, Dasya Ras is what they would get.
So if he had not tasted, he would not have been just... I won't say he wouldn't have been capable of distributing, but there would have been no full distribution.
Well, they could have distributed the holy name and made it available to everyone, but it wouldn't have this taste accessible in it.
Is that what happens when Gaur Narayan appears in other ages and distributes the holy name? There's no Charihi Bhavi Bhakti Diya.
According to the particular ras, or mellow, and that's what's saturated in the holy name. Holy name gives access to that. Unless someone's an eternally liberated soul and already comes with that. I think that's how it works.
So it's all the more reason why Kaviraj Goswami is putting so much detail in his summary in case he doesn't get to the Antya Lila. Because those chapters in Antya Lila, I mean, yeah. Lord Chaitanya, just experiencing the prasadam and the taste.
Yeah, all the five.
Comparing it to the taste from Krishna's lips.
All the five are there. Lord Chaitanya's deep glorification of those five arrows. Kamadevaya vidmahi pushpabanaya.
Yeah, that's, I was thinking that also.
That's what pushpabanaya ultimately
means.
I
always explain that, that's what pushpabanaya means.
Yeah. Pushpabanaya means you have Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yeah, unless you make the connection. No hope. Only by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Mercy.
Only by the mercy. You know, you could just see how angry, who was it? Minikethana Ramdas was. No, excuse me, Krishna Kaviraj Goswami was for his brother for
sliding Lord Nityananda.
Sliding Lord Nityananda. Yeah.
He just left.
Without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, how can one get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? Anyways, did you finish the purport? Yes, you did.
My dear friends, 30, please hear me. I have lost all providential strength. Without Krishna, my body, consciousness, and mind, as well as all my senses, are useless. 31. Topics about Krishna are like waves of nectar. If such nectar does not enter one's ear, the ear is no better than the hole of a damaged conch shell. Such an ear is created for no purpose. Purport. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes the following verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2:3:17-24, quote, both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Do the trees not live? Do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? All around us, do the beasts not eat and discharge semen? Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from evils. One who has not listened to the messages about the prowess and marvelous acts of the personality of Godhead and has not sung or chanted loudly the worthy songs about the Lord should be considered to possess ears like the holes of snakes and a tongue like that of a frog. The upper portion of the body, though crowned with a silk turban, is only a heavy burden if not bowed down before the personality of Godhead. Who can avoid mukti, freedom? And the hands, though decorated with glittering bangles, are like those of a dead man if not engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead, Hari. The eyes, which do not look at the symbolic representation of the personality of Godhead, Vishnu, his forms, names, qualities, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of a peacock, and the legs, which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered, are considered to be like tree trunks. The person who's not at any time received upon his head the dust from the feet of a pure devotee of the Lord, certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the flavor of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Certainly, that heart is steel-framed, which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change and feel ecstasy, at which time tears fill the eyes and hairs stand on end. 32. The nectar from the lips of Lord Krishna and his transcendental qualities and characteristics surpass the taste of the essence of all nectar, and there's no fault in tasting such nectar. If one does not taste it, he should die immediately after birth, and his tongue is to be considered no better than the tongue of a frog.
This quote is, again, I lost track. Is this Lord Chaitanya speaking?
This is Lord Chaitanya, text 32.
Mm-hmm.
33. One's nostrils are no better than the bellows of a blacksmith if one has not smelled the fragrance of Krishna's body, which is like the aroma of musk combined with that of the bluish lotus flower. Indeed, such combinations are actually defeated by the aroma of Krishna's body. 34. The palms of Krishna's hands and the soles of his feet are so cool and pleasant that they can be compared only to the light of millions of moons. One who has touched such hands and feet has indeed tasted the effects of touchstone. If one has not touched them, his life is spoiled and his body is like iron. 35. Lamenting in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened the doors of grief within his heart. Morose, humble, and disappointed, he recited a verse again and again with a despondent heart. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the word dānya, humility, is explained as follows. When unhappiness, fearfulness, and the sense of having offended combined, one feels condemned. This sense of condemnation is described as dīnatā, humility. When one is subjected to such humility, he feels physically inactive. He apologizes, and his consciousness is disturbed. His mind is also restless, and many other symptoms are visible. That's an interesting definition. The word...
Of dānya.
The word nirveda is also explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One may feel unhappiness and separation as well as jealousy and lamentation due to not discharging one's duties. The despondency that results is called nirveda. When one is captured by this despondency, thoughts, tears, loss of bodily luster, humility, and heavy breathing results. This is all really psychology. I mean, ultimately, it's spiritual psychology.
Yeah, disappointment. People have to face disappointment.
But what it's comprised of? Unhappiness, separation, jealousy, and lamentation due to not discharging one's duties. And then...
So who's the psychiatrist? Or the psychologist? Who's the psychologist who applies this psychology?
Somebody who understands it.
Vishada is also explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. When one fails to achieve his desired goal of life and repents for all his offenses, there is a stage of regret called Vishada. The symptoms of Vishada are also explained. One hankers to revive his original condition and inquires how to do so. There are also deep thought, heavy breathing, crying, and lamentation, as well as a changing of the bodily color and drying up of the tongue. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 33 such destructive symptoms are mentioned. They are expressed in words, in the eyebrows and the eyes. These symptoms are called Vyabhichari Bhav, destructive ecstasy. If they continue, they are sometimes called Sanchari, or continued ecstasy. If, by chance, the transcendental form, text 36, of Krishna comes before the path of my vision, my heart, injured from being beaten, will be stolen away by Cupid, happiness personified. Because I could not see the beautiful form of Krishna to my heart's content, when I again see his form, I shall decorate the phases of time with many jewels. This verse is spoken by Srimati Radharani in Ramananda Roy's Jagannath Vallabhanataka 3.11. Translation 37. Whenever I had the chance to see Lord Krishna's face and his flute, even in a dream, two enemies would appear before me. They were Pleasure and Cupid. And since they took away my mind, I was not able to see the face of Krishna to the full satisfaction of my eyes.
Text 38. If by chance such a moment comes when I can once again see Krishna, I shall then worship these seconds, those seconds, moments, and hours, with flower garlands and pulp of sandalwood, and decorate them with all kinds of jewels and ornaments. In an instant, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regained external consciousness and saw two persons before him. Questioning them, he asked, "Am I conscious? What dreams have I been seeing? What craziness have I spoken? Have you heard some expressions of humility?" Purport. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus spoke in ecstasy, he saw two persons before him. One was his secretary, Swarup Damodar, and the other was Ramananda Roy. Coming to his external consciousness, he saw them both present. Now, although he was still talking in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, he immediately began to question whether he was the same Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 40. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "My dear friends, you are my life and soul. Therefore I tell you that I possess no wealth of love for Krishna. Consequently, my life is poverty-stricken. My limbs and senses are useless." He again addressed Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, speaking despondently. "Alas, my friends, you can now know the certainty within my heart. And after knowing my heart, you should judge whether I am correct or not. You can speak of this properly." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then began to chant another verse.
Now, there's another thing in that Bhaktisthanta Saraswati Thakur Conversations, where he says that Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani's Bhava, and Gadadhar Das is Srimati Radharani's duty.
Effulgence.
Yeah. You remember that?
I remember reading it. I don't remember where.
That was where.
It was Saraswati Sanlapa. Yeah.
Love of Godhead, devoid of cheating propensities, is not possible within this material world. If there is such a love, there cannot be separation. For if there is separation, how can one live? Purport. This is a verse in a common language called Prakrita. And the exact Sanskrit transformation is... I'm not going to read that. Text 43, pure love for Krishna is just like gold from the Jambu River, does not exist in human society. If it existed, there could not be separation. If separation were there, one could not live. And thus speaking, the son of Srimati Satyadevi recited another wonderful verse.
Can I just ask quick? What does it mean, just like gold from Jambu River? Is there gold there, but it's not accessible? Or is no such thing as gold in the Jambu River?
No, there's that... if I remember right, on where the Ganges is coming down, and where it... on Jambu Dweep, where the big mangoes that fall, huge big mangoes, I don't know, miles big mangoes, and they fall down and flow, and when the sun touches them, then it turns into gold, and the demigods use that gold to decorate themselves with. Mm. I think that's Jambu gold.
Jambu gold. Also, you have
it's
to
on
go.
The fifth canto.
It's beyond no human being. It has to be from a.
Have to go to other Varsha, yeah.
Varsha.
Otherwise.
It's okay. I'll do without it.
Let's go. Four wheel drive.
Or for Radhi Shyam.
Thus speaking, the son of Srimati Satyamata recited another wonderful verse, and Ramananda Roy and Sri Dabandar heard this verse with rapt attention. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I feel shameful to disclose the activities of my heart. Nonetheless, I shall be done with all formalities and speak from the heart. Please hear." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "My dear friends, I have not the slightest tinge of love of Godhead within my heart. When you see me crying in separation, I am just falsely exhibiting a demonstration of my great fortune. Indeed, not seeing the beautiful face of Krishna playing his flute, I continue to live my life like an insect without purpose."
I just read this verse. Not this verse. It's a... very similar, it's the same thing. The wording is just slightly different, spoken by Srimati Radharani. I was just trying to think where I read it. It was only a couple of weeks, over the last couple of weeks. I guess if I remembered what I was reading.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably read so many books, it won't even help you. This.
And Srimati Radharani was saying that. Sorry.
Actually, my love for Krishna is far, far away. Whatever I do is actually an exhibition of pseudo-love of Godhead. When you see me cry, I'm simply falsely demonstrating my great fortune. Please try to understand this beyond a doubt.
Well, yeah, there it's like I'm crying in order to teach you how to cry. But actually, I don't have the corresponding symptom. I don't really love it. It's just all external.
There, meaning where?
Huh?
You said there, meaning where? Here?
There.
I thought you said, you started your sentence saying, yeah, there. No?
Maybe it's not the verse you were referring to that you read before?
Yeah.
Oh, the verse that you were reading. Okay. Yeah. That's the there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the context there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Here it's sort of like the context is, well, I'm a hypocrite.
Uh-huh. Falsely demonstrating my great fortune. Interesting.
Can you explain that?
Falsely demonstrating my great fortune?
Yeah.
I guess he's saying that it's just a pretense. My crying is just a pretense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a false demonstration.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make like I have great fortune.
Yeah.
I'm very fortunate.
Want to continue?
Okay. even though I do not see the moon-like face of Krishna as he plays on his flute, and although there is no possibility of my meeting him, still I take care of my own body. That is the way of lust. In this way, I maintain my fly-like life. Purport. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the lovable Supreme Lord is the supreme shelter, the Lord is the supreme subject, and the devotees are the object. The coming together of a subject and object is called alambana. The object hears, and the subject plays the flute. That the object cannot see the moon-like face of Krishna and has no eagerness to see him is the sign of being without alambana. Externally imagining such a thing simply satisfies one's lusty desires, and thus one lives without purpose. Love for Lord Krishna is very pure, just like the waters of the Ganges. That love is an ocean of nectar. That pure attachment to Krishna does not conceal any spot, which would appear just like a spot of ink on a white cloth. Purport. Unalloyed love of Krishna is just like a big sheet of white cloth. Absence of attachment is compared to a black spot on that white cloth. Just as the black spot is prominent, so the absence of love of Godhead is prominent on the platform of pure love of Godhead. Text 49, unalloyed love of Krishna is like an ocean of happiness. If someone gets one drop of it, the whole world can drown in that drop. It is not befitting to express such love of Godhead. Yet a madman must speak, but even though he speaks, no one believes him. In this way, Lord Chaitanya used to revel in ecstasy day after day and exhibit these ecstasies before Swarup and Ramananda Roy. Externally there appeared severe tribulation, as if he were suffering from poisonous effects, but internally he was experiencing bliss. This is characteristic of transcendental love of Krishna. If one tastes such love of Godhead, he can compare it to hot sugar cane. When one chews hot sugar cane, his mouth burns, yet he cannot give it up. Similarly, if one has but a little love of Godhead, he can perceive its powerful effects. It can only be compared to poison and nectar mixed together. Lord Chaitanya spoke, "My dear beautiful friend, if one develops love of Godhead, love of Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, all the bitter and sweet influences of this love will manifest in one's heart. Such love of Godhead acts in two ways. The poisonous effects of love of Godhead defeat the severe and fresh poison of the serpent. Yet there is simultaneously transcendental bliss, which pours down and defeats the pride of nectar and diminishes its value. In other words, love of Krishna is so powerful that it simultaneously defeats the poisonous effects of a snake as well as the happiness derived from pouring nectar on one's head. It is perceived as doubly effective, simultaneously poisonous and nectarian." Purport. This verse is spoken by Purnamasi to Nandi Mukhi in the Vedagya Madhava 218 of Srila Rupa Goswami. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would see Jagannath along with Balaram and Subhadra, he would immediately think that he had reached Kurukshetra, where all of them had come. he would think that his life was successful because he had seen the lotus-eyed one, whom, if seen, pacifies the body, mind, and eyes. Staying near the Garuda Stambha, the Lord would look upon Lord Jagannath. What can be said about the strength of that love? On the ground beneath the column of the Garuda Stambha was a deep ditch, and that ditch was filled with the water of his tears. Purport. In front of the temple of Jagannath is a column on which the statue of Garuda is situated. It is called the Garuda Stambha. At the base of that column is a ditch, and that ditch is filled with tears of the Lord. When coming from the Jagannath temple to return to his house, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to sit on the ground and mark it with his nails. At such times he would be greatly morose and would cry, "Alas, where is Vrindavan? Where is Krishna, the son of the king of the cowherd men? Where is that person who plays the flute?" Next.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to lament by saying, "Where is Sri Krishna, whose form is curved in three places? Where is the sweet song of his flute? And where is the bank of the Jamuna? Where is the rasa dance? Where is that dancing, singing, and laughing? Where is my Lord Madan Mohan, the enchanter of Cupid?" 57. In this way, various ecstatic emotions evolved, and the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu filled with anxiety. He could not escape even for a moment. In this way, because of fierce feelings of separation, his patience began to totter, and he began to recite various verses. "O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Friend of the helpless, you are the only ocean of mercy. Because I have not met you, my inauspicious days and nights have become unbearable. I do not know how I shall pass the time." Purport. This is a verse from Krishna Karnamrita 41 by Bilva Mangal Thakur. 59. "All these inauspicious days and nights are not passing, for I have not met you. It is difficult to know how to pass all this time, but you are the friend of the helpless and an ocean of mercy. Kindly give me your audience, for I am in a precarious position." 60. In this way, the Lord's restlessness was awakened by ecstatic feelings, and his mind became agitated. No one could understand what course such ecstasy would take. Because Lord Chaitanya could not meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, his mind burned. He began to ask Krishna about the means by which he could reach him. "O Krishna, O flute player, the sweetness of your early age is wonderful within these three worlds. You know my unsteadiness and I know yours. No one else knows about this. I want to see your beautiful, attractive face somewhere in a solitary place. But how can this be accomplished?" Purport. This is another quotation from Srila Bilva Mangal Thakur's Krishna Karnamrita 32. 62. "My dear Krishna, only you and I know the strength of your beautiful features, and because of them my unsteadiness. Now this is my position. I do not know what to do or where to go. Where can I find you? I am asking you to give directions." 63. "Because of the various kinds of ecstasy, contradictory states of mind occurred, and this resulted in a great fight between different types of ecstasy. Anxiety, impotence, humility, anger, and impatience were all like soldiers fighting, and the madness of love of Godhead was the cause." In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is stated that when similar ecstasies from separate causes meet, they are called Swarup Sandhi. When opposing elements meet, whether they arise from a common cause or different causes, their conjunction is called Bhinarupa Sandhi, the meeting of contradictory ecstasies. the simultaneous joining of different ecstasies, fear and happiness, regret and happiness, is called meeting sandhi. The word shabalya refers to different types of ecstatic symptoms combined together, like pride, despondency, humility, remembrance, doubt, and patience caused by insult, fear, disappointment, patience, and eagerness. The friction that occurs when these combine is called shabalya. Similarly, when the desire to see the object is very prominent, or when one is unable to tolerate any delay in seeing the desired object, the incapability is called otsukya, or eagerness. If such eagerness is present, one's mouth dries up and one becomes restless. One also becomes full of anxiety, and hard breathing and patience are observed. Similarly, the lightness of heart caused by strong attachment and strong agitation of the mind is called impotence, chapalya. Failure of judgment, misuse of words, and obstinate activities devoid of anxiety are observed. Similarly, when one becomes too angry at the other party, offensive and abominable speech occurs, and this anger is called rosha. When one becomes impatient due to being scolded or insulted, the resultant state of mind is called amarsha. In this state of mind, one perspires, acquires a headache, fades in bodily color, and experiences anxiety and an urge to search out the remedy. The bearing of a grudge, aversion, and chastisement are all visible symptoms. Hare Krishna, 64. The body of the Lord was just like a field of sugar cane into which the mad elephants of ecstasy entered. There was a fight amongst the elephants, and in the process the entire field of sugar cane was destroyed. Thus, transcendental madness was awakened in the body of the Lord, and he experienced despondency in mind and body. In this ecstatic condition, he began to speak as follows. O my Lord, O dearest one, O friend of the universe, O Krishna, O restless one, O only ocean of mercy, O my Lord, O my enjoyer, O beloved to my eyes, alas, when will you again be visible to me? This is text 40 of Krishna Karnamrita. Go ahead, 66.
The symptoms of madness served as an impetus for remembering Krishna. The mood of ecstasy awoke love, disdain, defamation by words, pride, honor, and indirect prayer. Thus, Sri Krishna was sometimes blasphemed and sometimes honored. Purport. The word unmada is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as extreme joy, misfortune, and bewilderment in the heart due to separation. Symptoms of unmada are laughing like a madman, dancing, singing, performing ineffectual activities, talking nonsense, running, shouting, and sometimes working in contradictory ways. The word pranaya is explained thus. When there is a possibility of receiving direct honor, but it is avoided, that love is called pranaya. Sri Rupa Goswami in his Ujjvala Nilamani explains the word mana thus. When the lover feels novel sweetness by exchanging hearty, loving words, but wishes to hide his feelings by crooked means, mana is experienced. Hmm. Can you give any examples of that, Maharaj?
Man?
Yeah.
Srimati Radharani's nature is like that. Hide her actual feelings. Krishna makes advances, she says no, no. But actually, she feels just the opposite. Or that, man is, refers to being, what's the English word? Peak. That someone is someone is actually upset, then they may or may not show that upset. Radharani will speak her mind, but for instance, Chandravali won't. She'll keep it to herself.
Is this to be this mind understood to be one of the forms of separation? Because it's four types. One is mind. Purvarag. Vaichitta, man, pravas.
Well, man is also a stage of la prema. It's, you know, multiple uses of the word, like bhava.
And the attitude of Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu addressed Krishna. My dear Lord, you are engaged in your pastimes, and you utilize all the women in the universe according to your desire. You are so kind to me. Please divert your attention to me, for by fortune you have appeared before me.
Utilize all the women in the universe.
Talked about it with Devan Rita Maharaj.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. We couldn't quite figure it out.
Oh, you read the same chapter? Women.
No, I think it was somewhere else.
Somewhere else?
We just brought it up. Uh-huh. That, you know, or all the women in the universe are attracted to you, but, you know, most of the women don't know about Krishna.
So, in other words, it's just an expression?
More than, yeah.
My dear Lord, you attract... Here we go again. You attract all the women of the universe, and you make adjustments for all of them when they appear. You are Lord Krishna, and you can enchant everyone, but on the whole, you are nothing but a debauchee. Who can honor you? My dear Krishna, your mind is always restless.
I mean, the Me Too movement doesn't quite fit into this.
No, not at all.
Especially, you know, when the women are like 14, 15 years old.
Right. No. We'll make it. And we should also be very careful to make sure that nobody from the Me Too movement gets accessed.
Well, as long as they don't study it carefully, but certainly, yeah, speaking those kind of things, that's why it becomes offensive.
Right.
My dear Krishna, your mind is always restless. You cannot remain in one place, but you are not at fault for this. You are actually the ocean of mercy, the friend of my heart. Therefore, I have no reason to be angry with you. My dear Lord, you are the master in the life and soul of Vrindavan. Kindly arrange for the deliverance of Vrindavan. We have no leisure hours away from our many activities. Actually, you are my enjoyer. You have appeared just to give me happiness. And this is one of your expert activities. Purport. The word Vaidagya means that one is very expert, learned, humorous, cunning, beautiful, and skilled in manifesting caricatures. Taking my words as defamation, Lord Krishna has left me. I know that he is gone, but kindly hear my prayers and praise. You are the satisfaction of my eyes. You are my wealth and my life. Alas, please give me your audience once again.
Taking my words as defamation. Trying to understand that phrase.
But now she's just criticizing him. in the last verses, and then she thinks she becomes offended and she glorifies him.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. There were different transformations of the body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being stunned, trembling, perspiring, fading away of color, weeping, and choking of the voice. In this way, his whole body was pervaded by transcendental joy. As a result, sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would laugh, sometimes cry, sometimes dance, and sometimes sing. Sometimes he would get up and run here and there, and sometimes fall on the ground and lose consciousness. Purport. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, eight kinds of transcendental changes taking place in the body are described. Stamba, being stunned, refers to the mind's becoming transcendentally absorbed. In that state, the peaceful mind is placed on the life air, and different bodily transformations are manifest. These symptoms are visible in the body of an advanced devotee. When life becomes almost inactive, it is called stunned. The emotions resulting from this condition are joy, fear, astonishment, moroseness, and anger. In this condition, the power of speech is lost. There is no movement in the hands and legs. Otherwise, being stunned is a mental condition. Many other symptoms are visible on the entire body in the beginning. These are very subtle, but gradually they become very apparent. One cannot speak. Naturally, one's active senses are arrested, and the knowledge-acquiring senses are rendered inoperative. Kampa, trembling of the body, is mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. As a result of a special kind of fear, anger, and joy, this is called vipatu, or kampa. When the body begins to perspire because of joy, fear, and anger combined, this is called sveda. Vaivarnya is described as a change in the bodily color. It is caused by a combination of moroseness, anger, and fear. When these emotions are experienced, the complexion turns pale and the body becomes lean and thin. Ashru is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as a combination of joy, anger, and moroseness that causes water to flow from the eyes without effort. When there is joy and there are tears in the eyes, the temperature of the tears is cold. But when there is anger, the tears are hot. In both cases, the eyes are restless, the eyeballs are red, and there is itching. These are all symptoms of ashru. When there is a combination of moroseness, astonishment, anger, joy, and fear, there is a choking in the voice. This choking is called gadgada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refers to gadgada rudaya gira, or a faltering voice. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, pulaka is described as joy, encouragement, and fear. When these combine, the hairs on the body stand on end, and this bodily state is called pulaka.
I need to go over for 5:30. What is Prabhupada's expectation putting in these technical things? And they're already there in Nectar of Devotion once, although probably not in such a technical way.
They aren't.
Prabhupada made that statement, we should memorize Nectar of Devotion, and we should memorize all these terms and so on. I don't know anyone who has. But, I mean, this is like, what to speak of, memorize it, to actually think them all through. I mean, you just pick any one of these, and The
I know the Astasattvika Bhavas. They're all mentioned right here.
Well, those are, you know, eight symptoms. And when you get to the Vyabhichari, you have 33. And then particularly all of these combinations and what is the internal experience, what is the external manifestation. It's
also what stimulates, you know, like joy, fear, and anger, and all these things.
But what's the point? My question is, what's the point?
There must be a point. Otherwise, why would Prabhupada put it?
I don't know. I'm curious. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur put him in.
I guess the point is that we should become at least familiar with transcendental emotions.
In a cursory way.
Yeah.
That's sort of how I took it. For this, you really got to study.
Yeah, I know. I know. I've read Waves of Devotion. I can't tell you how many times I've read Waves of Devotion. But nothing sticks, you know. Like, to memorize all the details of the Vyabhacharya Bhavs, the Sattvika Bhavs, and the different levels of Sattvika Bhav.
Yeah.
And, you know, the terminology that's there.
Yeah.
It's like
smoking.
Yeah.
Flaming. And it's...
It seems to me that we should know. I mean,
they exist.
They exist. Because unless we know they exist, we'll become too deluded by these experiences of material emotions, and unless we understand the existence of spiritual emotions and their authenticity, we'll be we may even become afraid to manifest emotions because of our experience with material emotions. So this almost, in a sense, gives full endorsements to the manifestation of these emotions, because we should not be afraid to at least try to understand them in a spiritual sense, although we may not be able to memorize the details of them. Yeah. But whether or not we can evaluate our own emotions.
Now, many of these from... What I've read is that Rupa Goswami sort of constructed some of the content around, Bharat Muni's whole science of aesthetics. And because that's where it comes from, for drama.
For drama, right, exactly.
So that when actors would act, then I don't know what actors study in acting school.
They have to know how to manifest facial expressions according to the particular moods.
Yeah, and then what are those things? So he knows, okay, it's joy, but at the same time it's fear, and, you know, there's some envy, and you study those expressions for when you either in dance, whether it would be Bharatanatyam or whether it would be drama, but they would be acting things out. Because he was very much into dramas. So was Ramananda Roy. But this is like beyond just, you know, studying the Bhagavatam or studying philosophy. This is like, yeah, this states memorization.
Yeah.
It's not...
It's funny you mentioned that, because I was thinking about it myself also, just recently. I guess I was becoming a little disappointed that why didn't I memorize these things when I had a memory?
I concentrated more on memorizing verses than... than going into these details. Some things in Nectar of Devotion, but but it seemed that these are just require so much time. But it's a it's wonderful. Because we read it so fast, but actually, you know, you're talking about, okay, how does these things come? And then when they interface, then there's the sandhi. And when they overlap.
What to speak of when they conflict.
Yeah.
Joy and anger.
Anyway, I'll leave you here. I've got to go take care of the devotees. I'll turn this off. We're in 20 minutes.